Welcome to the Barth Calderone Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Everybody, welcome to Wealth Protector TV. I'm Paul Hitchcock, and I have my colleague Craig Strom here with Barth Calderone, Asset Protection, Estate Planning, Business Planning. Welcome, Craig.
All right. Hello, hello.
Yeah, let's jump into this. So this is great stuff here. This is estate planning for families. We're going to talk about some hot button issues here. Craig, let's get it going.
Oh, this is awesome. I actually thought this would be a fun exercise just to walk through the estate plan just top to bottom. Yep. And from the perspective of actually drafting a new estate plan. So when we as a firm go through the process of drafting a new estate plan, folks sometimes miss the nuances of estate planning, and they might have seen this online where you can get your estate plan done for whatever, you know, X dollars online. And it's so easy. Well, if you do it right, the nuances of estate planning, our questionnaire is 62 pages long.
Right.
That
right.
means
yeah.
there are little details that need to be addressed if you're going to do it right.
For sure.
And we're going to go through a summary of that today just to touch on some really important points. But folks need to understand that doing an estate plan, this is a document that often in a you do it right, this is what your family uses when you leave this world. They use this document to actually settle up your estate, close down the books.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because that, you know, majority of Americans still don't have one in place, and it's a problem. Yeah. And those that do have them in place, they're either outdated, laws have changed, their life has changed. And so it just won't work. And like you said, it's not just, you know, bam, bang it out. There are important decisions that go in there. We're going to jump into it. There's asset protection
right.
provisions you can add to it. But anyways, good opening there. Let's jump in. Let's go.
All right. The very first thing, of course, when you go through an estate plan is to understand the pieces of the estate plan, right?
Yeah.
The estate plan is going to start with the way I split it up is your living documents and the documents for when you're gone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the living documents are first that healthcare directive. Some call it a power of attorney for healthcare. The healthcare directive is really giving a representative permission to talk to doctors and medical personnel on your behalf because you're not awake. For some
right.
reason, you're unconscious, you're unavailable. So the first one is that healthcare power of attorney. The big decision, Paul, and you've heard this before, the big decision that goes into that before you get to the idea of, am I an organ donor? Do I want my family to turn off life support? Before you get there, you have to decide, who will your representatives be? And do they have the emotional fortitude to be able to handle that kind of, it's traumatic to have
right.
to be dealing with those situations sometimes, right?
Yeah, and I think of two areas when you bring up healthcare directive. One is, you know, all of us should have elderly parents at some point who are aging, and you've got to have this in place because as they, you know, maybe develop cognitive, you know, decline,
oh, right.
things like that, you know, you got to have healthcare directive in place so you can help your folks out. And then, you know, I've got the four kids, and as they turn 18, they're legal adults. They get
right.
hurt, something happens, got to have a healthcare directive. First thing we did as a family, as the kids turn 18, boom, healthcare directive. So wife and I can make decisions for the kids. It's crazy to think you have to do it. But anyways, those two things came to mind.
No, it is. You've got to do that. Now, before you, again, we're talking about representatives, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you want to be able to choose your representatives. But what if you were previously married? What if you had a previous power of attorney? What if you had a document floating around out there with an ex-spouse? Do you have a new, fresh document that supersedes any old documents that you might have had?
Good point,
right?
Yeah.
Again, the representative, first of all, has got to be in a strong position personally to be able to handle a very difficult conversation in some cases. And then the second piece of that is your representative's geography, right? So we've had many times we've had folks say, I want to have my sister be my healthcare representative if I'm unconscious. Well, my sister lives in Australia. That might be a little difficult. It might be a little problematic.
Yeah, if you're in California, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Exactly. So if you're in the States and your family member or representative is in England, it's going to be difficult, right? So geography when you choose your representatives. Now, in most cases with spouses, each spouse is a representative for the other, right? Husbands and wives, et cetera. That is pretty standard. But what if, as you mentioned, Paul, what if you're in a situation where mom and dad might potentially be worried about cognitive issues, or, you know, the two of them recognize that they are closer to the finish line than they're not, and maybe they actually want to start off with their representation being a son or daughter for each other rather than spouse. You can do that, but it's very difficult to ever claim that unless you have a document legally drafted and signed that says someone other than your spouse is your representative. So that's an important one.
Okay, healthcare directive. Number two.
Yeah, so now I'm going to touch on it though, and this is one where folks need to don't lose this piece of a healthcare directive. You heard me mention it. You do have to make decisions as far as end of life. So be ready for that, right? There's some tough questions that we ask in there, right down to organ donation and turning off the machines. We already know, Paul, that we're going to turn the machines off for you. When? Is there a time frame? Is there restrictions? There's a lot of things that go into that, okay? You didn't know that we're going to turn the machines off, Paul?
Oh, I know. They're trying to turn mine off right now, my family.
All right, let's, the next piece, again, we're in the living documents, power of attorney for financial matters.
Got it.
So this is a critical piece here. And you know, when we're recording this, we never know when people are going to listen to it, but these are conversations to have with family. You'll be surprised. Mom and dad might not be unwilling to chat about these kind of things. Mom and dad might actually be thinking, yeah, we should have these conversations. It's worth bringing up because you want to know who has the ability to manage your checkbook if you're not able to, if you're unconscious for some reason, if you're out of commission for a period of time, who manages your financial affairs? We had a great example of a business owner client that owns real estate and was in the process of closing a deal on real estate, a big deal. It would have been great for the family, everything great. And they had a car accident. They're in a coma. They actually survived the accident, you know, in pretty good condition, except the coma was initiated by the doctors to let them settle down and let their condition settle, right? And they're out of commission right at the time when that deal needs to be done. The good news is they had a power of attorney for financial matters, and their spouse was able to go in with that power of attorney and close the real estate deal in the business.
Yeah,
it was actually a great outcome.
Yeah, no, it's a good story. And one of the biggest challenges I know that, you know, you have, the attorneys have, and deal with clients is just getting people to realize, okay, life could throw you a curveball. You know, we never know what's around the corner, and just proper planning. You know, get these things done, get them in place. That way you're locked and loaded as you move forward and go through life. We all know everyone's getting older and things are going to happen there. So just a good reminder. All right, great.
Absolutely.
Power of attorney. What else?
So now the power of attorney for financial matters, we've got that. The important piece, continuing that, just you've got to have the right, you know, your representatives. Now, in many cases, the representatives for your power of attorney for your checkbook, your financial matters, are also the folks that you trust enough to settle up your estate when you're gone. So those folks that are checkbook control, they might actually then translate into your will and your trust, your living trust. These are the documents we start to use when you're actually gone.
Totally,
That's why it's an important choice. And there's a number of pieces that go into that. But let's jump into that, right? Because when we look at in the will and the trust, just a quick reminder, it is important to have both. The reality is that a will does not avoid probate. Probate is that court process for settling up the assets of someone who died.
You want to avoid it if you can. Yeah.
But a will is actually just instructions for that probate process. A living trust, on the other hand, is an entity, really, that does not die, and therefore no assets of a deceased person to go to probate if we do it right. So we've got to have a will and a trust that talk to each other. We've got to have them connected properly. Yeah, when we look at the will, though, there is a big, big deal that's in the will, right? Because if we don't have kids, what we want the will to do is just point everything over to a living trust. That's good. But if we've got minor children, a will is also a place where we can name guardians for our kids. That is a huge, huge deal. Naming guardians for our children, because if, you know, Paul, if we don't have guardians named in our will, the county we live in has a plan for our kids.
Right.
That's the idea, is that the county family court system takes custody of your minor children.
Which
and then the
wants.
Family can, yeah, the family can hire lawyers to help decide who actually gets custody, and nobody wants that, right?
No.
So making sure that you've got guardianships. If you have children with special needs, you got kids who have special needs that might have conditions that will keep them needing support for a long period of time, perhaps a lifetime of support. Mm-hmm. Do you have your life insurance, for example, updated so that your beneficiary pays back to your living trust, to your estate plan, and then provisions for your special needs child to have guardians, to actually have their money held in a separate trust for their benefit? These are nuances along the way when you get into the will and the trust for the sake of children, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, there's even things, now this does not exist, again, sometimes in very generic DIY estate plans.
Yeah.
There's provisions in there, for example, with survivorship clauses and who your beneficiaries are. And what if you don't like your daughter's husband and you never liked your daughter's husband? He's no good for her. But something bad happens and the certain circumstances fall in line, and automatically that husband you didn't like becomes a beneficiary of your estate.
Problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in the generic DIY estate plans, that kind of planning is often absent. So we deal with that. That's why we go through this process. It's not a long process, but it's a detailed process to make sure that we address those kinds of issues, okay? So we've got the guardianship discussion. We've taken care of that. We've made sure that we've got provisions in there to tell the kids not to fight with each other, right?
Right.
We've got provisions in there that say that, you know, Cousin Eddie, that one cousin that we know is the nefarious, no good guy. Forgive me, anyone named Eddie. I'm just using the National Lampoon's kind of a reference. But you get Cousin Eddie, he should never be allowed to step up and say, I can represent the family. You'll be able to put that in your document and be very specific about that.
Okay? Yeah, it's interesting because you do the estate planning, right? It is a tool to help make sure that, you know, the family isn't fighting, it stays intact. And, you know, I know our team advises clients a lot of times to have a discussion with your kids, you know, when you're of sound mind about what's going on with your estate, you know, and a lot of times, you know, the kids are the trustees and come in, you know, later in life. So you do it right. And it just can be very smooth. And unfortunately we see so many cases where families are just falling apart, fighting, they spend money on lawyers, probate. It can be a nightmare scenario. So
lawyers love it if you don't talk about this stuff.
Oh yeah.
Not lawyers at our firm, because that's not where we focus. We want to make sure that you don't actually need any major lawyer action after you're gone. But I got to tell you quickly, Paul, as you mentioned that, it reminded me, Ruben, who is a client of the firm, actually had reconnected to for me to bring our attorneys in to help his brother-in-law, right? Mm-hmm. To help his brother-in-law with a new estate plan. And in the process, he said such nice things about our process as a firm, but more importantly, that it was so simple and straightforward to take care of his parents' estate, because that's where we came in to help Ruben's parents, and they had multiple properties, and all of that was actually very straightforward. But here's the thing. When we went through it, he said that that piece about making sure that family conflict was minimized, he said that was so valuable, because he actually had one of his sisters give him a little bit of a rough time, and he just shared the estate plan and said, this is what mom and dad wanted, and these are the provisions, and it really just calmed all the strife down and made it simple. It really did.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The other final piece with Ruben's story, he was one of those guys with parents that he thought, oh, I can't talk to my mom and dad about this stuff. They don't want to talk about money or estate planning. And I had encouraged him. I said, you never know. Mom and dad are in their 80s. They might be thinking differently today about mortality. You just go ask. He asked them and they just opened up. They were so willing to talk about it. Their mindset was very different than 20 years earlier, for example. You'll be surprised. I would suggest you'd be very surprised that mom and dad and family would be far more open than you think about talking about end of life decisions like estate planning.
Yeah, okay,
so there you go. That's
a good call.
Yeah. So we finish up with this, and it's a big one, and we won't go into all of the details, but as I mentioned earlier, right, we've got a will and we've got a living trust. They work together. They're coordinated. But now the living trust is that vehicle, that legal tool that we can connect assets to. We can connect real estate and business assets, and we can connect bank accounts to. And if a living trust does not technically die, there are no assets to go through probate if we connect everything properly to the trust. So there's a lot of decisions in there as far as how the trust is designed. Depends on the size of your estate, married, single, blended family, husband has six kids, the wife has three children. How are we going to put the estate settlement together? Do these kids get this house? These kids get that bank account? There's a lot of details that go into the discussion about how the estate is settled. And for the sake of children, remember that children piece, we're going to hit on it. The idea of minor children, do we really want them to inherit money outright, Paul? I mean, do you want a 14-year-old inheriting, you know, $250,000 outright?
Yeah, no. Yeah, so you handle
that.
Bad
idea.
Yeah, you get already, right.
Yeah,
right.
So we have provisions where the children can have their own standalone trust. Well, then though, you have to get into the details. Again, DIY trusts don't do this. Who's going to manage that trust? Who's going to be responsible for the guardianships? Are they the same people that are going to manage the guardianship, you know, requirements and then manage that trust for the kids? When do the kids take control of their own assets? Do they ever? There's a lot of nuances that go into that piece, okay? So now is the time, right? Take that one thing, if you could take away from this, is talk to mom and dad, talk to grandma and grandpa, have a conversation amongst yourselves and say, maybe we should finally get our estate plan done. We've got a 6 and 8-year-old. Maybe we should get our estate plan done.
Right, right. No, well said, Craig. And, you know, as sort of a sign off here, I want to mention to everybody that this is a great reminder, Craig, on, you know, what to focus on around this video, wherever you're watching this, because we live stream this. We have a complimentary planning assessment we do with Craig and the team of attorneys. You get one-on-one with us. We'll take a look at where you are, where, you know, whether it's more sophisticated, you have a simple scenario, get the planning done. We'll get with you one-on-one, give you observations, recommendations, sort of our blueprint for you on how to get organized and protected. So you can sign up with that. Maybe it's up here, down here, depending on where you're watching this.
It's somewhere.
It's somewhere around this video, I promise. But Craig, thank you. Awesome. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Take care, Paul.